Well, it's an honor to be here today. I thank God for all that He's done for me, and I appreciate that Brother Dennis would ask me and my brother to come preach for you guys on a youth Sunday. I love the singing. It's always good to fellowship with people of God. It's always good to see the young people get involved in church. I've been involved in church my whole life. I got saved at a very young age, 8 years old, down in an old Tommy tent revival where 30 and 40 people would get saved at night. And like that old saying says, I was born in the fire and the smoke won't do. So I want everybody to be ready to receive something from God today and pray for me that God will anoint me with the power of God, that I might preach a message that touches somebody's life, that might help somebody make it to heaven. So as everybody would turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Today I'm going to preach a little bit of a, it's a little bit more of a rougher sermon. I'm kind of rough around the edges. I've only been preaching for about 6 months, so bear with me. In verse 24, chapter 6. Say amen when you're there. Now, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Tonight or today, I would like to talk to you about serving two masters. This is a very basic message, I would say, but it's a problem that our churches, not this one per se, but our churches across this nation have a problem with. Sin and serving the devil and trying to serve God at the same time. Now in the book, let me turn to it, I'll just read it to you. Won't get ahead of myself. 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there. Talking about the false god Dagon that the Philistines served. And in this story, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they brought it to their temple of Dagon, a god of this world, a god made by man. Nothing more than some wood set on a pillar. And then in this story now, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it there and they left it. And when they came back the next day, they found Dagon with his face in the dirt, bowing down to the Ark of the Covenant, to the one and true God. Now let me say this. We as Christians have idols in our life. That song, "When I Lay My Isaac Down," is talking about getting rid of the things that you love the most to serve God, to get closer to God. Now Dagon was just an idol. He was just a wooden thing. He was half man, half fish. He was believed to be the father of Baal, but he was just a piece of wood. Now we like to substitute our false idols that are made with gold and wood with those celebrities that we call awesome, great, cool, fantastic. Oh, you talk about Ray Lewis and the Kardashians. That is our Dagon of this age. That is our Dagon of this age. Now the Bible says they'll put no other gods before me. No other gods before me. Now we take something as simple as an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy that we as young people will put time and time again before God. Now in that temple, you know what they did, young man, young lady? They put the very presence of God next to their idol. They put it next to their idol. And you know what happened? When that idol was there and put next to the awesome and mighty power of our God, that idol fell and was broken. And when they went to set it back up, that idol fell. And the Bible says that its head and the palm of its hands was cut off, and that it was nothing more than a stump. Now I'm going to say this, and I know it might sound rude, but sometimes as Christians, we take those idols. We take those idols and we put them in front of God. And then when He comes by and knocks it off, we pick it back up and we put it right there and say, no, God, I want to serve that more. I want that to be a part of my life. If you make me get rid of that, I won't serve you. So many times we hear these of young men and young women falling in love with sports, falling in love with another person, and they allow themselves to put that thing that they love the most in front of God. Now, Abraham had been praying for Isaac. And old Isaac was a blessing from God. But I don't doubt that Abraham loved Isaac. Maybe just a little too much. Maybe something that he loved just a little too much more than God. But oh, God says, you know what? I'm going to take what you love and I want to see if you're going to give it up for me. Now Abraham was promised. He was promised that his seed would be as big and as long and as many as the sand of the sea. So he must have had a lot of faith. Brother Dennis. To believe that when he prayed and Sarah couldn't have no more kids and was far beyond her years, to take, well, Lord, how's this possible? If you take old Isaac away, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, God? You take my iPhone away. You take my boyfriend away. You take my girlfriend away. What's going to happen? I'm going to be nothing. I won't know how to survive. I won't know how to make it. But I'll tell you what. The power of God will sustain you. The power of God will love you, Brother Brad. The power of God is a magnificent and holy thing that nothing most in this world can replace. I get excited just. You think about the story of Elijah, those 300 prophets of Baal. And so many times I look at that story and think, what a great story. That the power of God, when all these other gods fail them, that our God will come through. But if you know the story, you know what it's about. All these priests of Baal came and said, our God's better than the living God. And our God is stronger than the living God. And our God is greater, faster, quicker, can save us, can do more than your God. So Elijah said, okay, get two bullocks. Philistines, you pick yours. I'll pick mine. And you can even go first. Now these old Philistines. You mind if I take my time right here? These old Philistines. Took their little bullock. Built themselves an altar. And begged with Balaam. And old Elijah said, he must be away. He must be on a great journey. Cry louder. Cry louder to your God. You know what ended up happening? That God that they served caused them pain because they began to cut themselves and mar themselves till the blood gushed out of their arms and they'd cut themselves and sacrifice themselves. Now listen to me. Those gods that you're willing to serve before our God will cause you to hurt yourself. Will cause you to kill yourself. If I could open up my heart and let you see the scars that I have from those other gods. And let you see the scars that alcohol and drugs and fornication put on me. You would not believe that this young man was raised in church and is a preacher now. I'm marred and mangled, Brad, from the very thing that I put before God. I know a story of a young man. I don't know anybody that knows him in this building. But he had a love with drugs. Heroin. I won't use his name, but a good friend of mine. I grew up in church with him. Watched him lay in the altars, Brad, and cry and cry and shout and run the aisles. But he had a God in his life that he could not get rid of. And God would knock it down. And he'd leave it down for a little bit. But then he'd put it right back up. Just a couple months ago, that very God, Brother Dennis, that very sin took that young man's life. They found him on his knees. On his knees. He overdosed. Dead and went to hell for the sin that he loved so much. Gone. And never will get a chance to say, I'm sorry for what I've done, God. It's too late. The Bible says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, if you are sinning, it will kill you. Doesn't matter if it's a little white lie, brother. Doesn't matter what it is. The Bible says, if a man offendeth in one part of the law, he's guilty of it all. You can't tell a little white lie and say, well, it's just a little white lie, I'll make it to heaven. No, you lie. Now you're guilty of murder, fornication, adultery. That is what sin will do to us as a church. It will kill us. The Bible says the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. Now sin is sin. And I believe that sin will send you to hell. You say, I'm a good person. I pay my tithes. So what? So what? There's good people in hell right now burning for what they did because they couldn't put down a cigarette. They couldn't stop looking at pornography. They couldn't quit with their lust after men and women. That's what sin will do to you. It will leave you scarred and mangled and marred. Leave you on the floor with a needle in your arm. In another lover's bed, dead. That's what sin is. Don't get quiet on me now. Don't get quiet on me now. These false idols that we have in our life will kill us. Now I'm going to direct my attention back to the young people. Here's a king named Josiah. And he started to reign at 8 years old. The Bible says that he did not turn to the left nor the right, that he followed after his father David. And when that young man turned 18, he went after God. He went after him, Brad. He said, I want to know more. I got to figure it out. I got to find him. I want more and more and more and more and more power with him. So he sent his scribes and he said, take all the silver, give it to those and let them fix up the house of God. Tear down those idol places that my father put there before and his father there before. Tear them down. Break them down. And that young man was prophesied too. That God was going to destroy his land. And then he rent his clothes. And because he followed after God, another prophecy came and said, you will die in peace and you'll not see the destruction of your land. Now, what am I trying to get out here? As I'm closing, as Cody would come to the music, I know it's short-winded, but as I'm closing, what I'm trying to say and the gist of what I'm trying to say is that if you follow after God, young men, young women, old men, old women, you will not go wrong. If you will lay aside those false gods, like I said, it's not, we don't have a Dagon sitting up here. We don't have Buddha sitting up here, but we got little things. We got our football team. We got our baseball team. Now I know everybody hates talking about that stuff. I get it. I like football and baseball too. I use my iPhone every day, but you got to be careful where you place those things. You got to be careful where you place them. If you stick them above God and they become more than God to you, then you have to get rid of them. I heard of a preacher just the other day. He went and busted his iPhone because he found himself putting it before God. What a fanatic, right, Jim? What a crazy man. That costs a bunch of money. No, he's chasing after God. He's chasing after God, trying to find a way to make it to heaven, brother and sister. And that's the ultimate goal. And then once again, if we get all that out of our lives, then we begin to live the life that leads. And that the church world begins to get full. And that more young people coming in here and singing. More young men and women are trying to serve God. I'm going to say this, and I've said it at my church. Somebody's got to pick up the torch and go with it. And I saw enough young people that they can do that. They can get married and have babies and they can fill the church up and follow after God. As everybody would stand.